here in the Bible, and I think we got down last week to, well, we got down to verse 3, didn't we? Amen. And boy, I don't know. Let me just tell you a little story right quick. Between yonder and yonder, the Lord spoke to my heart about one of these words in this text. And when I got over yonder and started looking at it, oh my goodness, amen. I think it's going to be good, amen. I've built you up now. I hope I don't let the air out of you, amen. Look here at the Bible. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We magnified last week at the order there. Grace always comes before peace. Amen. A lot of people's trying to have peace apart from grace. And you'll never have peace apart from grace. You're going to have to be saved by the grace of God if you're ever going to know peace. Amen. And know the peace of God in your heart. And then Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We looked at that word always and every remembrance last week and magnified all that. And now, in verse number 4, he said, here's the word always again. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. And then he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that makes your word so real and so dear to us. God, I ask you tonight, Lord, for a special touch. God, would you just touch me one more time? God, that I've always known, Lord, that, Lord, if you don't bless me, I can't be a blessing. God, I want to be a blessing tonight to these that have gathered to hear the word of God. God, I ask you to bless me one more time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to look tonight at just a few things here. The Bible said, always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy for your fellowship. And that word fellowship there, we're going to magnify that word tonight. I don't know if I can say it exactly right, but koinonia, it means a partnership, participation, to communicate, or communication, communion. And we're going to look at this tonight. I'm going to look at an Old Testament passage or two as well. But a fellowship comes through spiritual communication and cooperation, and it is a result, it will result in sweet communion with God and each other. Let me say this to you tonight. I tell you, the Lord has magnified this in my heart in the last hour and 15 minutes. If we begin tonight to get a hold of what fellowship is, I believe we would guard it with our life. I'm telling you tonight, it's precious, amen? And before I get done tonight, I hope you'll see how precious it is. Paul was thanking God for their fellowship, number one, for their faithfulness, number two. We'll look in verse number, he said, for your fellowship in the gospel, and he was thanking God for their fellowship. But then he said, from the first day until now. In other words, he was thanking them not only for their fellowship, but for their faithfulness. From the first day, Paul said, the day we got together. You remember that word after a while, amen? The day God put us together until now, I want to thank God for your faithfulness. But then let me give you this. If you read it in its context here, he said, I thank God, my God, upon every remembrance of you. In verse number 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Well, what's he thanking God for? What's he making requests for? He's thanking God, and you got to skip kind of verse 4 to see that he's thanking God for their fellowship. He's thanking God for their faithfulness. But then in verse number 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm trying to get back to that word tonight, but I want to just obey the Lord here for just a little bit, okay? Had it been last Wednesday night and had I got finished, I would have just been just skating right on through. We'd have done been in verse number 7. But God, amen. There ain't going to be no verse 7 for a little while, I can tell you that, amen. But look here, there's not only fellowship and faithfulness that he's thanking God for, but he's thanking God for God's faithfulness. In verse number 6, he said, I'm confident of this. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You might not like what I'm going to say tonight, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe a reason a lot of people don't finish is because they started. I'm telling you, if God starts something, God will finish it. Amen. I'm going to show you that in the Word of God tonight. I believe that's taught in the Bible. And I believe it's important to understand. The Bible said, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to just go ahead and say something tonight. How in the world can we love God whom we have not seen and hate our brother whom we have seen? I want to know. The Bible asks that question. Amen. I believe it's an impossibility. You can get crossed up and you can get sideways, and I can too. But thank God if the Holy Ghost lives in there, he's going to take sideways and straighten it out. Amen. He which hath begun a good work. Here's the question tonight. Did God begin the work? If God began the work, 27 years ago, God began a work in my life. And if God began the work, you can mark this down. God will finish the work that he started in my life. I believe that goes for an individual, for a Christian. But I'm going to say this too. I believe it goes for a church. I tell you what I believe. I believe years ago, God started a church on this hill. And when God begins a work, God will finish the work. Amen. There may be times along the way when you wonder and you doubt and say, God, where are you? But you can mark this down. If God started it, he'll finish it. He'll finish it. Watch this tonight. The Bible said God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, by whom you were called into the... Boy, I didn't even realize that word was there. Unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. I want to say to our precious teenagers tonight, you're going back to school, there'll be temptation on the left hand, there'll be temptation on the right hand, there'll be temptation in front of you, there'll be temptation behind you, but our God said, I'm made my youngins a way of escape. There's not one adult, not one teenager that can say the devil made me do it. God is faithful. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand where this is going. I'm just trying to tell you, Paul is thanking God for their fellowship, for their faithfulness. But in verse number 6, he's saying, hey, it's more than your fellowship. It's more than your faithfulness. There's a God in heaven that's faithful to us. He's faithful to us. Now watch this. The Bible said, for as much as ye have heard, as we have heard, Acts 15:24, that certain which went out from us, notice that right there. They went out from us. Watch this. Have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Paul is talking about here, at a time when there was some that were walking together. By the way, it looked like they had fellowship. It looked like God had started the work. And let me just go ahead and say this. It looked that way in Judas's life too. I mean, he's with me right there. He looked just like one of them, amen. He was walking with Jesus, following Jesus. He was with the disciples. But watch the Bible said in 1 John 2:19. By the way, this will help you. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, this will help you. It'll help me along the way, being saved for 27 years, I've seen people go out that I never in this world would have believed went out. I'm not talking about just out of this body of Christ or out of this body of fellowship. I'm talking about no fellowship with God, no fellowship with God's men, no fellowship with God's people. I'm telling you, beloved, it made me stagger for a minute to think, what in the world is going on? But when I studied this, God will show you something. I'm going to tell you what the Bible, what's this now? 1 John 2:19. They went out from us. Watch this. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I want you to know something tonight. That us is a precious word. That us right there is fellowship with God and fellowship one with another. But the Bible is telling us there's some that look the part, talk the part, walk the part for a little while. But God did not begin the work. And if God did not begin the work, then that work will not be finished. That crowd that's going to stand over there one day. Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? The saddest words I believe I can read in the Word of God are, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. There was never a time in their life when God began a work in their heart and in their life. You see, to be born again means to be born from above. That means God started it. Amen. I believe tonight it's important. Paul's thanking God for their fellowship. He's thanking God for their faithfulness. But I tell you, communication and cooperation, it will not only produce sweet communion, but it also produces and promises a sweet consummation. My friend, if God started it, God will finish it. You can mark that down. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what happens when God's people get sideways? Well, I'll tell you what happens. Chastisement. Amen. Not enough of that preached. Amen. People say, well, if you believe once in grace, always in grace, you believe and go out here and live anyway. I've never taught that. I've never preached that. I don't believe that. And the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teaches if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe, my friend, if we're without chastisement, this precious old book declares that we're bastards and not sons. That means we've never been birthed into the family of God. I believe with all of my heart tonight, when God's people get sideways, the Holy Ghost will get things straightened out. You say, well, preacher, what if the Holy Ghost don't get things straightened out? What if they are genuinely born again? Then he'll get things straightened out. How many knows that's a truth in 1 John chapter number 5? There is a sin unto death. And I do not say that you should pray for it. That's what the Word of God said. I believe God won't leave his youngins here on and on and on and on, bringing reproach on his name. Amen. And on his people. Oh, beloved friend, tonight, I'm excited, aren't you? Let's go back here tonight and look at this word in verse number 5. Remember, this is coming out of verse number 3. He said, I want to thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And then you could say in verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, I'm going to get to this over here in the New Testament. But I got to get to it over in the Old Testament just a minute, okay? I just got to lay a little bit of groundwork right here. See, in the Old Testament, we're bringing it into the English out of the Hebrew. In the New Testament, we're bringing it into the English out of the Greek. I didn't say that to impress anybody. I just done a little cross study a while ago, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, as Brother Ron Garris would say, it just got gooder and gooder, amen, and tweeter all the way. Watch this now. Let's get over here, first of all, into the Old Testament. I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I just want you to see a couple of truths tonight And I believe it'll really help us. And the word fellowship is derived from a Hebrew word that we get out over there in the Old Testament, and I believe you would say it kabar. It's almost like that knife, but it's spelled C-H-A-B-A-R. But this word is not always interpreted into the English, the word fellowship. Did you get that? Watch this now. Over here in Genesis 14, this is the same Hebrew word. And I'm just giving you a few examples. I mean, I could have had six pages of them. But just a few examples. The Bible said, all these were joined together. And that right there is that Hebrew word, kabar. Joined together. Joined together. Think about that for just a minute. Fellowship. Joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the salt sea. In Exodus chapter 26 and verse number 3, the five curtains shall be coupled together. Watch this now, the same word. Now you say, preacher, why is this important? I think it's important because God wants us to see something. How many's ever helped put up a gospel tent or been around a tent being put up? How many's ever seen them take them loops and stick them through them holes and sew that thing together? I mean, knows what I'm talking about. You take a section of tent laid out here on the ground and a section of tent laid out here on the ground, and you start down through there, and no more is it two sections. It's one now, tied together, amen. And that's what the Word of God is saying here in the Old Testament. The same word for fellowship that's used in Psalms, kabar, Exodus 26:6. And thou shalt make 50 tashes of gold and couple the curtains together. That word kabar, right there it is again. Thou shalt couple, kabar, five curtains, Exodus 26:9, Exodus 26:11. Thou shalt make 50 tashes of brass and put the tashes into the loops and couple, kabar. I'm not even going to go on down through the rest of the page. I believe you've got the picture, amen. Fellowship's got something to do with being coupled together. Amen? How many of y'all ever been pulling a trailer when it come uncoupled? Nobody except me? Nobody. One guy's going down the interstate and he said, there goes somebody's boat. His wife said, I believe that's yours. Amen? I was over on Bradley Creek Road. It's only been 2 or 3 years ago. And Brother Brian, it's that same trailer. Amen. You can probably find some scars on it around. But you know, there's a reason for them safety chains. What I done, brother, is I put it on the wrong size ball. That thing takes a 2-inch ball. And I set her down on a 1 7/8-inch ball. And she jumped the ball, brother. I hit a bump in the road. And all of a sudden, that thing went, I just got her stopped, you know, and got her put back on, got the right ball on it. Nothing got tore up real bad, amen. Thank God for safety chains, amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It caused panic. You know what it ought to do in our lives when we lose fellowship with Him? It ought to cause us to panic. Listen to me tonight. We will never, if we've been born again and God started the work, we will never, never lose our relationship with Him. But I'm going to tell you, fellowship is a different story entire. Amen. I believe relationship depends upon a birth. I believe fellowship depends upon obedience to the Word of God. And here in the Word of God tonight, God is showing us in the Old Testament, it has something to do with this being together. Now, let me just give you something tonight. Let me go over here to the New Testament. You say, preacher, what do you got? Listen to these verses here. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. The Bible said here, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? That in the dispensation, Ephesians 1:10, of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. You see that word together? Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. Watch this now. Ephesians 2:6. He raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Watch Ephesians 2:21. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple into the Lord. Ephesians 2:22. In whom ye also are builded, watch this, together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 4:16. Even from the whole body, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Listen, I'm about to run a bench right here. Listen, when God saved me and when God saved you, He coupled us up at the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you, friend of mine, there ought to be enough coupling going on right there that we can have fellowship till the Lord comes and gets us again. I'm telling you tonight, it's important to see God did the coupling up. When God birthed me into His family and God birthed you into His family, He's been a tying them knots together ever since. Amen. He's been a couple, just like two sections brought together. We was laying over there dead in our trespasses and sin. I tell you what, I like what old Brother Pete said. He used to fight chickens. And I don't know a lot about fighting chickens. It's just the grace of God. I don't know that sin. I know enough of the others. Amen. But Brother Pete would fight them chickens. And he said when the chicken lost, he said they just throwed it over in what they called the dead pile. But he said every once in a while, he said something over in the dead pile would kick and flop a little bit. And said they'd figure out that that chicken just wasn't plumb dead. Amen. It still had some life in it. Aren't you glad God reached down in the dead pile and got you and I and put life in us and quickened us together at the cross of Calvary? Give us fellowship. Fellowship. You say, preach, you about done? No, I'm about to get started. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, I'm talking about something that is more precious than ever lump of gold that's ever been stored in Fort Knox. Fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship among the brethren. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with the saints. Let's go down through the New Testament now and look at this tonight. Let's look at this tonight. Let me just say this tonight. This is in my heart. Every once in a while, listen to me carefully. God showed me something today. Every once in a while, a pastor that's worth his salt sees something that needs to be dealt with. Is anybody home? Every once in a while, a shepherd that's got his eyes open and his ears open and is looking after the flock, he sees something. And I'm going to tell you, God help me this evening. You might not like what I'm about to say, but I tell you, I believe it's right on target. God knows my heart. I tell you, there have been times that I've just felt like, well, why don't you just go ahead and deal with that? Why don't you just go ahead and deal with that? I tell you why. God showed me sometimes there's something more important than that little problem. It's called fellowship. Sometimes God wants us to pray about some things. And amen, not charge in like a bull in a china shop, amen. But realize, listen, one wrong move, one wrong word, and we have fellowship that's broken. You said, preacher, you ain't much of a pastor. I tell you what, you just take that up with God. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of men that will break fellowship with their people in a heartbeat and don't give a rip. They'll say things that are ugly. They'll say things that are mean. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to preach the word. Let it fall where it will. But fellowship is precious tonight in the Word of God. You say, you mean you would compromise? No, that's not what I said. I'm telling you, my friend, listen. How many of y'all have raised children? How many of y'all got it right sometimes? How many of y'all got it wrong sometimes? How many of you have been just a little bit more patient? Amen. Amen. It would have come out a whole lot better. I'm telling you tonight, fellowship is a precious commodity among the people of God. And you ought to take that seriously, and so should I. Every Sunday school teacher ought to take that seriously. Every papa ought to take it seriously. Our deacons, amen, every teacher, everybody that works in our church, everybody that attends our church ought to take that seriously. Seriously. Very, very seriously. Fellowship. Fellowship. Watch this now. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I'm going to go ahead and nail this down while I'm here. Listen to me. Brother Gary, you've been saved, brother. I know you done told me that once, but I'm just making sure. We got saved the same place, didn't we, brother? At Calvary. I'm not talking about the same place on the planet, but we both made a visit to Calvary. Brother Gary, you reckon you and I see eye to eye on everything? I guarantee you we don't, brother. But I'm going to tell you what ought to hold us together a little while is Calvary. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. You'll figure it out after a while. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of majoring in this day and time on the minors. Are you listening to me? Amen. I believe when you major on the majors, God can give us fellowship. And I believe with all of my heart, all of my heart, I've seen things in my own children's lives that needs to be dealt with. But I'm going to tell you right now, I want God's touch when I deal with it. I want God's touch when I deal with it. Amen. How many's with me tonight? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's precious. Well, it's 5 minutes late. You don't stay about 15, 20 minutes. Do you really? Well, let's go then. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 5. I want to show you some fellowship here in the New Testament. Okay? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to show you some things that promote fellowship. First of all, the scripture. Our fellowship is in the gospel. In the gospel. The scripture ought to promote fellowship. You come in here carrying an NIV, we're not going to have fellowship. But if we can get in the same book, amen, that's an NIV is that non-inspired version. Or that new infected version. Take whichever one you want. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, we've got a King James Bible. I don't even like to call it a version. I like to just say it's a word of God. The English speaking people. Say, preacher, ain't many people standing like that these days. Well, if we're going to have fellowship around here, we're just going to stand right there. And by the way, we've got a covenant and a constitution that says the same thing. Amen. He said, I thought you said we don't need to major on the minors. The Word of God is not a minor. It's a major. Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection is not a minor. It's a major. His virgin birth is not a minor. It's a major. His sinless life is not a minor. It's a major. His coming again is not a minor. It's a major. Hallelujah. The scripture. We got fellowship in the gospel. Watch this now. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'm just going to give them to you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Do you know that we're living in a generation where some people ain't got no better sense than to get up and say something like this? Why, doctrine don't matter. That's about stupid. You know what doctrine is? It's what the Word of God teaches. I dare you to take that up with my Heavenly Father and tell Him that what His book says does not matter. It does matter. They continued. Why did they have fellowship? Because they had a Bible. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking in bread, and prayers. The scripture, the book, prayer, supplication brought fellowship. So we have fellowship through the scripture. How many see in here where we get coupled up? How many's with me tonight? Can we get coupled up at the Bible? We got coupled up a while ago at the cross. Can we get coupled up at the Bible? If we can't, we don't have fellowship. But if we get coupled up at the Word of God, we have fellowship one with another. Amen? Let's go on now just a minute. Amen? Amen. I could save this for next Wednesday night, but I might not live till next Wednesday night. Amen. I want to go ahead and get this out there. Listen what the Word of God said. Not only the Scripture brings fellowship, but the Son of God brings fellowship. The Bible said God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I love to say His name, don't you? Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion. Is it not the communion? That word communion is the same Greek word that's used for fellowship in other places. There's communion. There's fellowship through the Scripture and through the Son of the living God. Watch this tonight. The Bible said here that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, there's a lot of people who likes to fellowship with Jesus on the mountain. But I tell you, there's no sweeter fellowship than the valley. The fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I say tonight, fellowship comes through the Scripture. Fellowship comes through the Son of God. In the Scripture, I see the book. In the Son of God, I see the blood. I see the bread. And I see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you and broken for me. Fellowship. Well, I can get coupled up with the Scripture. I can get coupled up with the Son of God. What about the Spirit? Philippians 2:1, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Did you know this? Listen to me carefully right here. I'm just going to run this rabbit and quit. I'm not quitting for the night, but just quit on this rabbit. There's people tell you come and you get saved, and then one day you come back and you get the Holy Ghost. That's not taught in the Word of God. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Romans chapter 8, he is none of His. Now, I'm going to help us right here tonight. If God will help me, I want to help us right here tonight. Being Spirit-filled, it's almost a play on words. But being Spirit-filled is not about you and I getting more of God. Being Spirit-filled is about God getting more of us. And can I tell you, in recent days, Brother Brian, you use that old term, digging around. He's been a digging around where I live. He wants more of me. Can I tell you, the flesh, Brother David, don't want to turn loose. The flesh wants to say, that's enough now. We've gone this far, Lord. Now that's quite enough right there. I tell you, I believe we ever see a real move of God, it's going to be when God's people, God's preachers say, hey, Lord, listen, Lord, there is no limit. Oh, God, you can have all of me. All of me. My utmost for His highest. I'm going to tell you tonight, one man, I can't remember his name, but he said at the end of the way, he said there was no reserve, and there was no retreat, and there were no regrets. You know, I believe that's what Paul was saying when he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I didn't hold back. I let God have it all. The Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I can get coupled up at the Scripture, get coupled up at the Son of God, get coupled up at the Spirit. But think about this. What about getting coupled up with the saints? Watch this now. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. You know what they were seeing? They were seeing here that not only did they have fellowship with the Son of God, and fellowship through the Spirit of God, and fellowship through the Word of God and the doctrine of God, but they had fellowship one with another as the saints of the living God. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, John said, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. Now watch this now. With us. We might have changed the order here. But John said, I want you to have fellowship with us. And then he said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Precious. Precious. Fellowship. It's precious. More precious than gold. I can get coupled up with the saints. The sovereign. You know, somebody said, well, preacher, how can you tell who's real and who ain't? Well, that's not up for me to tell. Let me teach you something that my pastor taught me right after I got saved. He said, Brother Rick, I love you. Brother Wishon, did you ever know him, Brother Rose, up at Glaze Spring? He said, I love you, son. He said, I know God's got His hand on you. And he said this. He said, I'm not going to make you prove that you can be trusted. He said, I'm going to trust you till you prove otherwise. How many's ever been burnt like that? I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a whole lot better way to live than the other way. You ain't going to have much fellowship, Brother Arnold. We're not going to have much fellowship while I'm waiting around letting you prove whether you can be trusted or not. Say amen right there. That's the truth. I'll tell you what, I believe the Spirit of God bears witness. I'll tell you what, I believe you can fool me, but I believe you can't fool Him. And I believe with all of my heart, fellowship with the saints is something that's precious. Watch this. I put in here, I called it the sovereign. You say, preacher, why'd you do that? For the sake of alliteration, it fits. Watch Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things in Christ Jesus. Let me illustrate this for just a minute. I'm not going to be too much longer, but let me illustrate. Way back yonder, in February of 1987, God, February 22nd, saved a man that had been a church member for 6.5 years, doing everything he could to produce peace, to have peace, to do right. I wanted to do right. And I'm going to tell you what, I did a whole lot more right than what a lot of people said they're saved was doing. I can tell you that right now. I wasn't trying to deceive anybody, but the fact of the matter is, I had never been born again. God had never begun a work in me. You say, preacher, what's this got to do with the mystery? Now think about this. Out yonder in California, San Diego, of all places, in May of 1987, think about this, Brother Brown. I know you fall in love with Brother Napper when he comes and Miss Myrna. Well, in May of 1987, God was reaching down out there in San Diego and saving a drug addict that had walked out on his wife and hooked on heroin and everything else under the sun. And then 11 to 12 years ago, God put us together in the ministry. He said, preacher, what are you trying to magnify? That it all started at the same cross. And it is a mystery how that God does it. But I'm going to tell you something. He had it on His mind before the foundation of the world. The fellowship with God's people. The sovereign God of heaven. Amen. I like it. I really do. Then I'm going to give you this. Watch this now. God taught me something right here. Not only the sovereign and the saints, I can get hooked up right there. How many's with me so far? The Scripture, the Son of God, the Spirit, I can get hooked up right there. Even asked my wife. She was watching me when this was coming together. She knew I was about to explode. Well, I've done exploded now, ain't I? I'm about exploded out. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I love you all. This is what I'm determined. I'm determined. Brother Gary Turbyfield, if ever there's a day, by the grace of God, I'm determined that if we don't have fellowship, it'll be your fault. It won't be mine. I'm going to work at it. If I have to, I'm going to say I'm sorry. If I have to, amen! Fellowship is precious. It's not only precious to me, but Brother Arnold, what's it mean to him when he sees us loving one another, praying one for another, bearing one another's burdens? What does it mean to him? How many of you all are parents? Oh, how many of you all have been around the corner when they're about to kill each other around the corner? How many of you all felt the necessity to intervene before a trip to the emergency room? How many's with me? How many of you all have ever had a broken heart because of such things? How many of you all have ever had a youngin' to say something like this? This happened often in our family, and I'm bragging on Jesus, but it happened often. You would be out with them youngins, and maybe one of them was at home, or maybe one of them was their mama or papa. I'm talking about my youngins, my four youngins. And they'd be around the corner there at the Walmart or the grocery store, and they'd be talking to one another and hear them say something like this: Charity's not here, but we need to get her one. We need to take her one. How many knows Daddy grew about 18 inches when he heard that? Well, if it makes Daddy grow 18 inches, what in the world does it do for our Heavenly Father when he looks down, Brother David, on a bunch of youngins that are walking in fellowship together? Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, what happens to fellowship? Let me wrap it up for you in a three-letter word. Sin. Sin. You say, preacher, where's that in the Bible? Well, I can't go there yet. Give me five more minutes. I forgot something. Listen to this. Substance. Remember the illustration I just gave you? Listen to these words right here. Substance. Get hooked up. I can get hooked up right there. What's that mean? That means if I've got some deer meat and you need some meat, you can have some meat. That means if I've got some sugar and you need some sugar, you can have some sugar. I'm talking about the kind in the bag. She's the only one getting that other. Amen. I never can forget Brother Dennis's wife. How's your sugar? Oh, he's parking a car. Amen. Boy, oh boy. Hallelujah. Everybody ought to have a marriage that happy. Amen. Watch this now. That the communication of thy faith, that same word communication right there is fellowship. The same Greek word of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Watch this now. Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Brother Rose, I didn't know that that was the same word for fellowship in the Greek language. To communicate. To share one with another. Watch this now. I'm not a communist. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter 15, verse number 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution. Watch this now. That word contribution right there is the same Greek word for fellowship. To make a contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I'm learning some things about fellowship. How can I shut up my bowels of compassion, Brother Fred? If you and Sister Sue are hungry, how can I say, be you warmed and filled, my brother? Oh, praise God, you better be getting in the cabinet and getting some soup and carrying it over there or something. Amen? How many seeing something? I've never seen this before. It's got something to do with fellowship. See, some people draw a line in the sand with their fellowship. Am I right or am I wrong? You can come so far, but you ain't coming no farther. How many believes that early church had lots of fellowship? Think about it. Just think about it. Watch this now. Praying with us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That word fellowship has to do with substance. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Watch this now. And for your liberal distribution. Think about that. Whole corner of the fellowship hall full yesterday evening. Just for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then it was empty. That word distribution right there is the same Greek word for fellowship. You say, preacher, you really believe that? I know it. I studied it. Fellowship. Yeah. I can get hooked up at the substance just as quick as I can get hooked up at the Savior. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What I mean is, if you need it and I got it, you can have it. Say amen. You say, preacher, how in the world could anybody live like that? Well, I'll tell you a couple ways. Number one, you could realize that everything you've got is going to burn one of these days anyway. Number two, you could realize that we're in the body of Christ. Amen? Let me ask you something. How many children do you have, Brother Rose? Three, brother. If your children need something, you going to be there? If you've got it, they got it. Now, let me ask you something. Should it be any different between your children in an earthly family and the children of God in the heavenly family? Let me ask you that. I'm telling you tonight, if I've got it and you need it, you can have it. After I studied this, it has as much to do with fellowship as Calvary, the Spirit of God, the Scripture. If I shut up my hand and my bowels of compassion, I shut up my heart, I'm telling you tonight, God's not going to bless me. Amen? Amen. That don't hurt me. That helps me. God's helped me along the way. People have shared and shared and shared. Well, God don't want me to be a dead sea. Just people share with me and me not share with anybody else. How many's with me tonight? How many say God's been good to you tonight? Now watch this. Not only tonight the substance. I don't know if it's because you're tired or what, but it got a little bit quiet right there. Let me get to this last thing. There's a sin that keeps us from fellowship. Just a couple of verses and I'm done. The Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion? That word communion is the same Greek word for fellowship. What fellowship hath light with darkness? 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know which one of them two verses is better to walk in. Say amen right there. Well, you know what tonight? As far as I know, I'm in fellowship with everybody that's in this room and a whole lot of folk that ain't in this room. But if for some reason or another you know something that I don't know, then the Bible instructs you to come to me. Amen. You know why? Because fellowship is precious. Behold, oh glory to God. how good and how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I believe I can find fellowship in that verse, don't you? God said it's good, it's precious. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know what I believe? I believe it is impossible for God's people to die alone. You said, now, preacher, wait a minute. Well, He's the one that said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you for staying with me tonight. I'll sleep better now. I didn't get that off my chest. I got that off my heart. Amen. Fellowship. Fellowship. I'll tell you something right now. There's one thing, Brother Gary, you've pastored. One thing I like around here. It's liable to be an hour after church is over. Everybody likes it except people that has to lock up. They'd like to throw the keys at them, amen, say, no, I'm just kidding, amen. Amen. But I've pastored where people, you said the last amen, boom, it's gone. Amen. You have too, brother. I've pastored where I threatened to change the name of the church. Call it the Church of Jesus Christ, the Last Minute Saints. Amen. Well, do we have fellowship?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, it sure is precious to me. God, I don't have anything to preach without it. God, help this pastor, help this people to guard the fellowship. It's so precious. Precious, our Father, in your sight. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us this evening to determine by the grace of God to walk in the light. As you're in the light. And then that blood of Jesus Christ would cleanse us from all of our stinking sin, that we might continue to walk in fellowship.